Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad, Rhino down in Studio X, pushing all the buttons, pulling all the levers. Everything that makes this show good, Rhino is the reason for that. You can join the show on the C-Spire text line, 601-879-4395. We are presented by Yingling Flight, brought to you by Dots at Big Four in Tupelo. Yingling Flight, the next generation of light beer, brewed for those that never settle. A cold, clean, crisp, refreshing light beer, perfect for a Mississippi game day in the Junction. Enjoy one this weekend if you're watching Mississippi State, Texas, wherever you are. Yingling Flight, enjoy responsibly. I don't know if Coach Jeff Lebby is a Yingling Flight drinker, but I do know he did not want to settle on Saturday night. And unfortunately for him, that decision did not pay off, as Mississippi State, in the closing moments there, having a chance to get a massive win over the University of Florida, just gives the game away and loses, and that losing streak now to 15 straight SEC games for the Bulldogs. I've seen Coach Lebby's comments after the game about he liked the play call. He loved the play call, he said. I've seen people who've tried to break down the play for me, and you know, he was Brennan Thompson was open here, and this would have. Guys, I've disagreed with however many head coaches State's had in my lifetime on play calls. Let's do this. You know, I guess when I was born, Bob Tyler was the head coach, but I was too young to disagree with him. So I've never disagreed with Bob Tyler on a head coaching call. Emory Ballard would be pushing it because I just didn't know enough. But I definitely disagree with Felker, Sherrill, Kroom, Mullen, Moorhead, Leach, Arnett, and now Lebby. I have done it many times. So this is not the first time a coach has said, I like the play call, and Brian Haydad has said, did you? I did. Maybe it's just because, for me, the result of the play call is the more important thing. And the result of this play call was an interception. And so now Mississippi State moves on to Texas. And who would have guessed back in June or July that I would have told you that Texas, this is one of the most winnable games Mississippi State was going to play in this 2025 season. But this is not a good Texas team. There's no getting around the fact that this is just not a good team this year. They have not played well, and I feel like I'm putting it kind of lightly there. This is the box score from their game against Kentucky this past week, a game they somehow won 16-13. Arch Manning was 12 of 27 for 132 yards and no touchdowns. And Texas ran the ball 28 times for 47 yards. Now, you're thinking right now, I know what you're thinking. What about sack yardage? There was some, -1 yards. But if we take Arch Manning's, we'll take all of his carries out. He had some actual carries, but we'll just talk about the running backs. Between Trey Wisner and Christian Clark, 15 carries for 48 yards. Guys, this Texas offense is bad. Now, they make up for it by being elite defensively. Really good on the defensive side of the ball. They have put pressure and forced turnovers on every team they have played. They do have some injuries back there in the secondary that could hurt them. State last week, this is why I've seen a lot of people talking about Jeff Lebby, and I understand why you're down on Lebby. I get it. I'm not telling you not to be. Man has not won an SEC game yet. I get it. But the game plan last week was solid. State had almost 500 yards of offense and had opportunities to be well over 600 yards. But Chapin failed to execute on some plays. And there were some bad play calls in there as well. You know, a little too much with the horizontal and the screen game. I thought the series with Kamario Taylor was a wasted one, where they basically just ran QB power five plays in a row, and he ended up getting stopped on fourth down. Let me address that in his Monday press conference. He said basically that, you know, the state could have been up 21-0. His press conference was a lot of trying to say, hey, look, what people are saying could have happened or should have happened isn't happening. He said that he's been getting a lot of texts in the past few weeks. Hey, the team is much better than it was last year. You should be 6-1. And his response is, A, I don't care about last year. Last year isn't anything I ever think about. And B, we're not. We're 4-3. And so it's about getting the next win, being 1-0 each week. That is a mantra that this man preaches with a lot of passion, is just taking it one game at a time. And he does. Bubba and Starkville, is this a must-win for both teams? I think so. So from the Texas perspective, yes, because you're out if you lose. You're out of the college football playoff in all likelihood. There may be some crazy scenario where they could backdoor into the SEC championship game, because remember, one of their losses is a non-conference loss. They lost to Ohio State. But for Texas, yeah, like 99.99, this is a must-win game for the Texas Longhorns. It's tougher for State because what's on the line, right? Lebby's job not on the line. State not in the college football playoff discussion. The biggest thing is it really does feel like after Arkansas, which is a road game. Don't get me wrong, that's a tough game. But it's maybe the most winnable game you have left. And so from that perspective, it's not so much must win as it's best chance to win. It's crazy to say that out loud, by the way, that Texas is Mississippi State's best chance to win another game this year. I find myself, you know, going over it in my head and doing a double take and saying, are you sure, Brian? Are you sure that's but it is. It is. This the trap is set. This is State's opportunity to really make a big statement this weekend. What is it going to take to do that? If you look at State's three losses this year, even the A&M loss, where A&M's a vastly superior team to Mississippi State. But State has killed itself in every game with turnovers, with penalties, with missed opportunities. Every game, to me, has been more about what State has and hasn't done than what their opponents have done to them. Tennessee and Florida especially, you can't say they did enough to win. It's more that State did enough to lose in those games to me. Especially this past one, where you've got the game, you've got the ball in field goal range, with time on the clock. All you got to do is get your kicker out there, and you're going to win the game. But you take a chance that you didn't need to, and it bit you right where you didn't want to be bitten. And for that reason, instead of celebrating a huge win and talking about the rest of the season, and you know there's a lot we can do, and we can have big goals and so on and so forth. I mean. Here's the funny part. Here's the absolutely funny part of that when you think about it. I don't know if you will say it's funny or not. Maybe not. It might make you sad. But if State wins that game, they're still in the college football playoff discussion. They're still like, well, if they win out, now would they be favored to win out? Is that statistically probable? No, it's not. But you can at least have the discussion. You can't have it now. State gave away a lot in that final play. I hope that we don't look back at the end of the season and say State gave away their best chance to win a game. I hope that doesn't, you know, one thing, remember what I said, when State beat Arizona State, you don't want to look up in November and that was the highlight of the season. Right now, it's still the highlight of the season. So you don't want to, you know, you've got another month of playing football games. You don't want that to be the moment you look back on in 2025, and that's what you're pointing to. You don't want that. Need to find a way to win two of your final five games, get into the postseason, and start moving forward with this program. If you're 4-8, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to get people convinced that you're the guy if you start 0-16, especially in the transfer portal era. You just feel like you would have backed your way in. It's funny, the analytics love State. The gamblers love State, too. Bulldogs 6-1 against the spread this year. If you have bet on State to win, to cover in every game this year, you've made some money on the Bulldogs. Jeff Lebby is a bettor's friend. But they got to get that win, and we'll see if they do. Dossett Big Four in Tupelo, 46 years. That's how long they've been in business, serving the community and being your top automotive dealer here in North Mississippi. If you are in the market for a new car, a pre-owned car, you need to check out the selection at Dossett Big Four. DossettBig4.com, or you can drive by the lot at 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo and take a look at what they've got to offer. It's a lot. Great, great selection, but more importantly, great service, great people at Dossett Big Four. We'll keep talking football when we come back because I want to focus a little bit more in on Chapin and Kamario Taylor and this QB battle that seems to be coming to a head. And will there be a change this weekend? I'll let you know what I think when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
All right. Yes, right in my wheelhouse. Good stuff, Ryder. Feels like a Saturday night at Cheers all over again. Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. It's a good song. Glad you are with me here on a Wednesday evening. I'm Brian Haydad. Ceasefire text line open to you, 601-879-4395. Presented by Yingling Flight, brought to you by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. 46 years, that's how long Dossett Big Four has been selling cars in the city of Tupelo. And if you are in the market right now for a new car, they would like the chance to earn your business. Great sales department, great award-winning service department. It's the full package at Dossett Big Four. DossettBig4.com or visit them at 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. And get your next car at Dossett Big Four. All right. I believe we said coming into this season that with the Blake Chapin situation, that the first time that he screwed up, the fans are going to be quick to ask for Kamario Taylor to come in. And they did. In the USM game, as soon as Taylor came in the game and showed a little bit of what he had, everybody was like, why don't we just go ahead and make the change? And I've been telling people for weeks, they're not going to make the change. They're not going to make the change. Chapin's not going to make the change. Not going to make the change. And then Chapin beats Arizona State, and he put a lot of credit in the bank. He played well enough against Alcorn. He played well enough against Northern Illinois. Then you get three losses in a row, and now the noise around a quarterback change is as loud as it's ever been. You saw more of Kamario Taylor last week than you had previous. As I said in the first part of the show, I thought that they did him wrong with some of the play calling there. I think you got to put Kamario Taylor. Now, again, I know. I know what an RPO is. Sometimes you got to take the word. You got to narrow it down a little bit. Instead of run pass option, run. Instead of run pass option, pass. Football survived for hundreds of years before the RPO was really a thing. Sometimes you could just call a run. You could just call a pass. And that's kind of where I asked Jeff Lebby about this on Monday, and he answered my question without really answering it. I asked, you know, what do you do different as a coach? Because as a coach, your job is to motivate, to provide leadership for a player. Versus a play caller. When you're calling the plays, how do you give Kamario Taylor the best chance to succeed? That's something that, you know, I've heard so many times with Taylor is, you know, he doesn't have the full grasp of the playbook. Okay, but if he's the better athlete and the better quarterback, make the playbook work for him. You know, that's what you've got to do in that situation. So the question becomes now on Saturday, if Mississippi State comes out and the offense continues to stagnate, I guess after the first drive, they scored on the first drive, scored a touchdown in 6 of 7 games, and they did score first against Texas A&M. It was just a field goal. But after that, you know, State scored a touchdown on its first drive against Florida, and they only scored 14 more points. So if the offense is stagnant, are we at the point where you have to make a change? And as I mentioned on Sports Talk earlier today, never forget that Jeff Lebby was the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss in a game where they had a game where Matt Corral threw six picks. And then he threw five picks later in the season, and they never went away from him. Jeff Lebby is going to stand behind his quarterback. So do I think a quarterback change is coming this week? I'm going to say no. I'll be surprised. We'll put it that way. If Jeff Lebby changes quarterbacks mid-game in this one, I'll be surprised. That said, they've got to continue to find ways to get Kamario Taylor involved. He's too good an athlete. You know, he scored your first touchdown last week. But they've got to get him involved in a way that allows him to do more than just run the ball directly up the middle. I want to see Kamario Taylor hand off at this point, just because I think everybody in the stadium is going to key on him. And you had that last week. And Lebby said, you know, it's a run-pass option, and Kamario made the read to keep. If he makes the read to hand off there, Xavier Gayton might still be running. He might have been able to run all the way back to Starkville. There was nobody near him. So that's what I'm saying. Is there a way, and I don't know the answer to this, right? Is there a way to simplify it a little bit? Hey, we're going to give the same look that we would normally give. And since Kamario Taylor's in the game, we know, or at least we suspect, they're all going to converge on him. He's keeping the ball. Get him. So we give the RPO look, the same formation, the same personnel, the same pre-snap, whatever. But Kamario, come hell or high water, you're handing the ball off here. Can that be done? I don't know the answer. Can you set him up with some passing plays and you tell him, look, again, same formation, same personnel, same pre-snaps, everything. But you're going to fake, and you're going to look up, and you're going to try to throw the ball down the field. If it's not there, by all means, take off. But your first read is not run. You're going to try to get the ball out down the field. Can you set up plays like that? Again, I don't know the answer. But that's kind of got where we're at with him, with Kamario. You have to give him some opportunities to do more than just run the ball up the middle. Chapin can quiet all this noise, by the way, pretty easily. Come out and lead a couple of quick touchdown drives. Put it up, make it a 14-0 game. Win the game. Nobody's talking about Kamario Taylor if you win the game. That's where Chapin is right now. Chapin, at the end of the day, is where he is. He is a sixth-year senior. This is what he is. There is no more to his game at this point. He's got to get rid of the ball quicker. This is what he is. Don't think there's any more juice for the squeeze. He's giving you everything he's got out there. The good news is everything he's got has basically been, it's almost enough to win a game, to win these SEC games. So if I can get a little more from someone else, maybe Kamario Taylor, you can win these games. But Chapin, right up until, even with everything else, even with missing Brennan Thompson twice and missing Jerron Glover and taking some sacks he probably could have avoided, even with all that, if he doesn't throw an interception, State probably wins the game. Or at least has an opportunity to win the game. That's why I don't like the play call. Why are you putting the ball into Chapin's hands there? I understand that you trust him, but the odds were not in his favor there. They weren't. Chapin is a guy that, has been a good leader for this team. I think his team buys into him. If you saw the video of the Arizona State game, that they rallied around him. He's made some big plays this season. He's had some good throws this season. The veer and shoot, the deep pass has been there for Mississippi State. But the fact is, he's not a plus athlete that can escape some of these pressure situations like you'd like to think that Kamario Taylor could. And he's made some bad decisions here and there. Now, I don't think this guy is the first pick in the draft. I don't expect him to be perfect every time out. But you've got to get a little bit more out of the quarterback position. So let's look at it like that, right? More about the four from the quarterback position. So that's Chapin and Taylor. So if I'm getting everything, if I feel like I'm getting all I can get out of Chapin, I need Taylor to give me a little bit more to win these games. I thought Kevin Barbe was the offensive coordinator. Where have you been? That guy's been gone for 2 years. He's at Kentucky right now. Have they not said anything about the missed field goal? No, the SEC now. They're not gonna release a statement on that. I don't know. To this moment, I don't know if it was good or not. It looked good, but apparently, does the whole ball have to go over? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I've never seen a field goal do that. It reminded me a little bit of Brian Hazelwood's field goal in the 98 Arkansas game that was so high that it looks like it's not good. I don't know, though. I don't know the answer. So, yeah, Kevin Barbe hasn't been at State since the end of the 2023 season. Lebby is the offensive coordinator. He calls plays. He doesn't even have an offensive coordinator. He is the offensive coordinator. Oh, we all knew that. More from the quarterback position. So that can mean, you know, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Chapin does have a little bit more to give. Maybe he can just find a couple of more guys. I mentioned this on the podcast. He was 24 of 36 for 324. He could have been 26 for 36 and thrown for almost 500 if he had hit those two throws to Brennan Thompson, who was wide open. I didn't think you could overthrow a guy who's the fastest player in college football, but Blake Chapin did that. Got to find a way. And that's where Chapin's supposed to be his strength, right, is the big arm and the touch on the deep ball. Got to have more of that. He knows this. I'm not telling Blake Chapin anything by that. We'll see if he can pull it off this weekend. Would be a monumental win for the Bulldogs if they can find a way. We'll talk some baseball when we come back. Today's been a really weird day in SEC baseball. But Mississippi State played baseball last weekend, so I want to talk a little bit about that. As well. So we'll do that when we come back. We are presented by Yuengling Flight, the next generation of light beer. Whether you're watching college football, pro football, or just enjoying a meal, Yuengling Flight is the light beer to have. Only 95 calories and 2.6 grams of carbs, so you can enjoy it, and you can enjoy some great food with it as well, and not to have to feel too guilty about all those things. Yuengling Flight, brewed for those that never settle. Enjoy responsibly. Yuengling Brewery. Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Back in just a minute here on Thunder and Lightning.
The best Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
You're rolling tonight, Rhino. Absolutely slaying it. Good stuff. Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. Presented by Yuengling Flight, brought to you by Dossett Big Four. Yuengling Flight, the next generation of light beer. 2.6 grams of carbs, only 95 calories. You can enjoy more than one, but enjoy responsibly. Brewed for those that never settle. America's newest light beer from its oldest brewery. Yuengling Brewery, Yuengling Flight. Weird day. First off, weird that we're going to talk some college baseball in October. Had somebody on the C Spire text line say, hey, we're 2 weeks out to basketball. What are we doing? It's like, patience, darling, patience. We're going to do a lot of basketball on this show, on Sports Talk, and certainly on the Thunder and Lightning podcast next week. We're going to really start leaning into hoops. But you had two coaches. One's gone and one, I don't know. As you know, guys know, I'm a lifelong San Francisco Giants fan. The Giants have hired Tennessee head coach Tony Vitello. As a Giants fan, I don't know, man. I got no clue how that's going to work out. I feel like it's either next, when we are at this point next year, the Giants are either going to be in the World Series or they will have finished like 58 and 104. I feel like there's no middle ground. They've been 81 and 81 basically every year the last 4 years, not next year. As an SEC baseball fan, That is a titanic shift in the landscape of the SEC. Now, tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, I've got an interview with Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball. We talk a little bit about this. I recorded the interview before all this became official, but there was enough smoke that I wanted to get his thoughts on it. So check that out. So Vitello's out, and then later today in the day, Florida announced that Kevin O'Sullivan's taking a leave of absence for some personal reasons. I saw a really good point about this. The fact that they put out a statement in October makes you think that this is a problem. Because otherwise, they could have just not put anything out. Who would have known if the baseball coach wasn't coming into work? Like, I guess some players might have known something, but it's not like if Jeff Lebby took a leave of absence right now, we wouldn't notice it. He's the baseball coach. Their season doesn't start until February. You could have gotten away with not putting out a statement. So the fact that they did makes me think this could be longer than we think. Mississippi State, as I mentioned, played an exhibition doubleheader this past weekend down in Pensacola, and they took on Florida State. Split with the Seminoles, won the first game, lost the second. The vibe I've gotten from talking to Robbie, who's been out at some of the scrimmages and practices that State has had open, and from talking to Mark Etheridge, is that State's depth is as good as it's ever been and as good as anybody in college baseball this year. They legitimately have 1 through 9, the kind of lineup that makes Omaha, but they've got, you know, 10 through 18 on the bench that are quality players. You know, State's lineup right now, it feels like it's already crowded, and that's with Ace Reese and Aiden Teal not playing yet because of injury. And that's going to be probably two of your top guys when we get to spring. Ace Reese for sure. Teal is likely your starting center fielder. From a pitching standpoint, you've got a lot of plus arms. It's a little more unproven on the pitching side of things, but between Tomas Valencias, Ryan McPherson, Ben Davis, Tyler Fitzger from South Carolina, the transfer, and then of course William Kirk coming in from Virginia. And the true freshman, Jack Bauer, who I talked with Mark about in an interview. And I mean, you can't teach 103, which this guy can throw. I'm just telling you right now that. Hold on. Okay, Jay, it took me a second. I got a text that heard he left because of not enough NIL money. And I thought he was talking about Ace Reese. I was like, no, he stayed. Now, you're talking about Tony Vitello. I have heard something similar. I've heard that Tennessee has made, in the revenue-sharing world, made women's basketball a big priority. And, you know, obviously they have a long and proud history there. And Vitello asked for more money, and he was denied, so he made it clear that he was willing to look elsewhere. I've heard that. I guess I should say, as some people say, I'm not reporting it. Just as something I've heard. Don't know if it's true or not. The expectations around Mississippi State baseball, as you know, are high every year. You know, they expect to be a team that competes for the College World Series. Those expectations are going to be a little elevated even for this year, to the point where I will never go so far as to say if you don't win the national title, it's a disappointing season, right? Because anybody, you never know how that's going to go. But I would be willing to say if you're not one of the top 8 seeds, this was a disappointing season. If State's the 13 seed, they're still hosting the regional, but they're the 13 seed. That wasn't a great year. Especially in this, you know, with the landscape just changing. You have Tennessee at home. You were looking at this. That's going to be this massive clash of the Titans. And Tennessee's still a very talented team, don't get me wrong. But much as we saw with Alabama and their football team, when you lose the best coach in the game, not that Vitello's resume and Saban's resume are comparable, but Vitello was widely regarded as the best coach in college baseball at this time. And now he's gone. I think Mississippi State and LSU are your odds-on favorites in the conference this year. One of them will probably win it. And State should be in contention to go to Omaha. And I think it's okay to embrace those expectations. I feel like over the past couple of years, we've had so many people saying, you know, oh, well, you know, State's only hosted so many times, and, you know, they're actually overachieving compared to what they've done historically. And I said from day one that was bullcrap. And I'm not afraid to say that. My expectations for Mississippi State baseball are to compete for championships year in and year out, each and every year. A down year for Mississippi State baseball is a two seed in somebody else's regional. But that needs to be the down years. It needs to not be every year. Since State's won the national title, it's missed the tournament, two seed. Not acceptable. Brian O'Connor isn't thinking like that. Look at the recruiting. He's got six top 100 players in the 2027 class committed to him. I think you're finally starting to see Mississippi State baseball achieve from a recruiting standpoint at the level it should be with the amount of resources and commitment that this program has. And that's the way the big boys recruit, right? Go get as many of those guys as you can. Some of them will go pro, but a couple of them will stick, and that's who you build your team around. Somebody asked about Tennessee players hitting the portal. They can, but they'd have to sit out a year. The academic year having already started, you cannot be eligible this year. So that's not a thing. Why is Florida's coach taking a break? They just said it's for family reasons. I have no insight as to why. If we're a top 8 national seed with that SEC schedule, we deserve the number 1 overall seed. You're not wrong. State's baseball schedule, in terms of, like I said, the SEC, the non-conference schedule, kind of weak, but who cares? This is State's, in case you don't know it, this is State's SEC schedule. They start out at Arkansas, host Vanderbilt, at Ole Miss, host Georgia, host Tennessee, at South Carolina. I mean, that's your easiest series, I guess. Host LSU, at Texas, host Auburn, and then at Texas A&M. Yeah. If State wins 20 conference games, they'll be at worst like the 2 or the 3 seed. I guess it just depends on the rest of the league. You could say, if you look at Arkansas' schedule, they miss most of the big teams outside of State. So they could easily be, they could very easily be a team that wins like 24, 25 games in the conference this year. We'll have to wait and see on that. But O'Connor he's hot on the recruiting trail right now. He's got a lot of top guys committed to him. And State's in on a lot of top guys as well. I think this program might finally be willing to tap into all of its potential. Long way to go. You know, we were a long way from the start of the season. Anything could happen between now and then. But it seems like State and Brian O'Connor are right place, right time. And, you know, for a sport that, you know, we all admit that baseball is not a sport that makes a ton of money. It's basically a non-revenue sport. It can turn a profit in a good year at Mississippi State, no question. But it's not football, it's not men's basketball. But it's important to Mississippi State fans. And Zach Selman recognized that. That's why he went out and made the commitments to Brian O'Connor that he did. And that's why Brian O'Connor is now here at Mississippi State. And his goal every year is going to be to compete for the national championship. You will never see him poor mouth his team's chances, and he will probably not tolerate anybody who does. That's refreshing, I'll be totally honest with you. We'll talk a little bit more football. We'll finish it up. I'll give you my final thoughts on this Texas game, and I'll make a prediction. I'll go ahead and lock one in. We'll do that when we come back. Dawson Big Four in Tupelo. 46 years. That's how long they've been serving the community here in Northeast Mississippi. Buick, GMC, Honda, what are you looking for? They've got it at Dotson Big Four. Great selection of pre-owned vehicles as well. Check them out on the website, dotsonbig4.com, or swing by the lot, 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. If you're in the market now for a new or pre-owned vehicle, Dotson Big Four would love a chance to earn your business like they've been doing for 46 years. We'll wrap it up when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Do you owe back taxes?
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's wrap it up. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk, Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad, Rhino in Studio X. The buttons have been pushed. The levers have been pulled. We're all about to wrap it up here with you on a Wednesday evening. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Let's take a look at the interviews that we've gotten on Thunder and Lightning this week. Father Burke Masters, which was a great interview, I thought. And it seems to have struck a chord with some of y'all, and I appreciate that. Tomorrow we've got Joe Cook from InsideTexas.com previewing this weekend's game. We've got the interview I mentioned a moment ago with Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball. That's going to be on the podcast feed tomorrow. On Friday, I got two more interviews. Former MSU offensive lineman Matt Caldwell will tell the story of being on those MSU teams that beat Texas in 91 and 92. But more importantly, he tells the story of being there at practice the day that Jackie Sherrill showed the team how a bull becomes a steer. And that is a very funny story, and I would think you will enjoy it. Also, I caught up. We have a long-standing rule on Thunder and Lightning on the podcast that if you win a national title, you get to be on the podcast. Well, I have interviewed the MSU irrigation troubleshooting team, and I have interviewed the Mississippi State debate team, and now I have interviewed the Space Cowboys, the Mississippi State rocket engineering team. That interview on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning. Oh, and by the way, Robbie Falk has had his little interview with this guy named Hardy. You may have heard of him. Big country music star. Thunder and Lightning. Nobody providing more content for Mississippi State fans than me and Robbie Falk. I promise you. I promise you that. What about this weekend? It's kind of one of those things where Levy talks about don't let what happened last week affect this week. I'm at the point where I can't do that anymore. I keep watching State lose these games, and I just don't know if they know how to win, and that's what worries me. I feel really good about the statement that if State were to win on Saturday, I would probably put them down for 7-5. I think they would beat Arkansas, and then they would win one of the last three. I don't know which one. I just think they would win one of those. But if they don't win this weekend, the pressure next weekend at Arkansas is so huge, because then it becomes, well, if you don't win here, you're not winning again. They've got to get this monkey off their back this weekend, but I just don't buy into their ability to do it. I think this game will be close. I think it will come down to one play, two plays. And just like in the Tennessee game, just like in the Texas A&M game, just like in the Florida game, when it's time to make that play, I just don't know that State will make it. They made it against Arizona State. But since then, they had opportunities against Tennessee to win that game, and they didn't do it. They had, I wouldn't say win, but they had opportunities to make the game a lot more competitive against Texas A&M, and they didn't do it. And they had opportunities to win on Saturday against Florida, and they didn't do it. And at this point, it's just a trend. So they have to break the trend if they're going to beat the Texas Longhorns. And it will not, it's the same thing. It's not going to be that Texas comes in here and they're just so much better than Mississippi State, and that's why State lost. It's going to be, we're going to look back, I think, and it's going to be, well, if State had just done this, that's been the motto this season's whole been. If State had just done this, they'd be 5-2. If State had just done this, they'd be 6-1. I stretched getting to 7-0, but I think we're going to be saying if they've done this, they'd be 5-3. I think they're going to be 4-4. I'm going to take Texas to win a close one, 28-24. Close game. State will cover. State will make it interesting. But in the fourth quarter, when it's winning time, I don't know that this team knows how to win yet. Maybe they can break a trend. I will say this. They've been in every game. They haven't been blown out. I know that the A&M score, but if you, again, I like to have these discussions with people who I believe watch the games. They aren't just looking at the box score. If you watch that game, you know that in the third quarter, State was very much in the mix. They just could not get anything going. I think it's going to be something similar. I think they'll be close game. They're in it. They just won't get it done. That's where I am with this team. I got a great chance to be wrong, though. Should be a good crowd. It's homecoming. Maroon interlocking helmet is back. We haven't really talked about that, but I'm excited. Let's not put it back on the shelf. Let's just keep it in the lockers. That can be the helmet the rest of the way. No reason to change. If you're listening out there, equipment staff, just those State Script helmets, hey, I like them. I'll take one if you want to give it to me. But Just go ahead and put those in storage. We'll go with the maroon interlocking the rest of the way. At least that's what I think they should do. We'll see how it goes. All right. Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow. Plenty to talk about there. Thunder and Lightning podcast, as I mentioned, two interviews previewing the Texas game and some good baseball talk on tomorrow's show. Yeah, a lot of good stuff coming. Next week, as I mentioned on Thunder and Lightning, a lot of college hoops next week. We'll talk some basketball for sure, as the Dogs are only a couple weeks away from the start of the season. It's that time of year. Football and basketball about to overlap a little bit. The science might be in full effect. We'll think about that when we have to. Talk to you guys again tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for tuning in to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.